It's good to see you here today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4, once again. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. And I want to pick up where we left off last week. I don't know about you, but I've lived in quite a few different places during my 67 years here on this earth. Each place has had its own distinctive qualities. Some of those qualities have been positive. Some of those qualities have been negative. Amen. Some of you may know what that's like, and some of you may have no idea what I'm talking about because maybe all you've known is just growing up right here, and I understand that. Last week, we saw how the people in the town of Nazareth mistreated the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nazareth was Jesus' hometown. We all know Christ was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth. And for that reason, he's known as Jesus of Nazareth, and he's known as being a Nazarene. Now, don't get it confused with him being a Nazirite. He's not a Nazirite. I think that's where some of the depictions of him with real long hair come from, because they get confused of Nazarene and a Nazirite. And he did not have a Nazirite vow upon him. But I look at it as being much like our son Philip. Our son Philip was born in Valdosta, Georgia. We lived in Florida. We had to drive up across the state line to get him in a hospital big enough that we felt comfortable with. We lived in a little old place called Jasper, Florida. And we were at my first pastorate there in Jasper, Florida. And we drove up to Valdosta. And he was born in Valdosta, Georgia. But he was mostly raised in Springfield, Tennessee. And which do you think he would call his hometown? It'd be Springfield, Tennessee. And if you cut him, he still bleeds Tennessee orange. And I told him, that's just not normal. I keep telling him, every normal person bleeds Georgia red. But he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't listen to me at all. I'm from Georgia, by the way. So Nazareth is where the Lord lived his life growing up. And today we see Jesus, after escaping the wrath of the people in his hometown, he moved to another town in Galilee. He began his ministry in the Galilee area, and he is there. And Galilee is where the rest of his ministry is actually centered out of, the town of Capernaum. And after his baptism by John the Baptist and temptation in the wilderness by Satan, Jesus returned to the Galilee area to begin his ministry. And of course, when he started out in Nazareth, that didn't go too well. One Sabbath day there in Nazareth, and they ran him out of town. And Matthew 4, verse 13 says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum." So he's actually moved to Capernaum. I want you to understand, just as no two towns that I've lived in or that you've lived in or ever will live in are ever the same. They're all different. But we see that these two towns were different in some very important ways. Let's begin by reading the passage that deals with Capernaum, and I'm going to go back and take a look and compare Nazareth with Capernaum here for just a little bit this morning. Luke 4, verse number 31. And this is after he's made his way through the crowd that was trying to cast him off of a hill outside of town. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Notice the plural there. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And they besought him for her, okay? And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ moving on to the next town. But we saw, if you remember last week, we saw that Nazareth was resistant to Jesus what he had said to them about what Isaiah prophesied. I'm not going to take time to go back and read the passage of Scripture, but we saw that they were familiar with Jesus in verses 15 through 22. Jesus tried to reveal to them that he was the promised Messiah that Isaiah had written about in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, because he is. He is that Messiah. But although those that heard him admitted early on that he spoke gracious words, they could not get past their thinking that he was someone that they knew. Get it now? Jesus grew up in the community of Nazareth. And they thought they knew Jesus well, but they didn't. I mean, they said in so many words, now, that's Joseph's boy, ain't it? Well, he wasn't Joseph's boy. No, not in reality. He was Joseph's stepson, but he wasn't Joseph's son. And today, you know, many folks have a similar problem. Some have heard about Jesus all their lives. Some have gone to church all their lives. So they are familiar with Jesus, and yet many of them have really never come to know Jesus, who he truly is. If you mention Jesus, they'll say something like, oh yeah, man, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. But then you get talking with them about what that means to them, and you come to find out they really don't know Jesus like they should. Many don't act like they know him, and they resist when some truth is taught about him that goes against who they think that Jesus is or who they want him to be. And that was the problem in Nazareth. They heard him speaking that this passage of Scripture in Isaiah 61 was about him. And this is the boy that grew up with this. This couldn't be true. You know, that was the kind of thinking that they had. There are many today who think that Jesus is okay with folks doing particular things that the Bible calls sin and an abomination. But listen, he's not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if it's in there that it was abomination back during his day, it's still an abomination today. Amen. Let's just call it like it is. Others get so familiar with Jesus that they just have the attitude of, you know, I already know that, preacher. And they stop listening, even though they've never applied what they've heard. Never applied the Scripture that they've heard. When folks get so familiar with Jesus that they begin to assume and take him for granted, that they know him better than they really do, listen, anybody that's in that position is in a danger zone. When you think you know Jesus and you really don't know him like you should, can I tell you? You're in danger. Got to tell you also that there's a need for us to keep Jesus, and I'm talking about the Jesus of the Bible. A lot of folks talk about a Jesus, but he's not the Jesus of Scripture. You look at who Jesus Scripture is and who they think Jesus is, and that's two different people. It's not the same. Can I tell you there's a need for us that know Jesus to keep the Jesus of the Bible fresh in our lives each day. rather than just being familiar with some of the old truths that we know about Jesus, we need to revisit them anew with expectation and come to know Jesus in a deeper and better way. Amen? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been in church. You need to know Jesus in a deeper and better way because you don't know all about Him. This preacher don't know all about Him. I'm still learning things today from Him and about Him. But listen, we need to know Him because He hasn't changed. Amen. He hasn't changed. We saw they were familiar with Jesus. We also saw that they were faithless toward Jesus in verse 23 and 24. And we saw there that Jesus knew what they were thinking and even revealed as much to them as He illustrated their problems by way of two Old Testament examples. So you that were with us, we're going to talk about those examples. But you ever heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Yeah, it does. Familiarity breeds contempt. Well, they had the very Son of God living among them for years, yet they gave Him no honor when it was clearly evident that the Spirit of God was working in Him. I mean, they've already acknowledged, you know, man, those words are gracious that He's speaking there. But then all of a sudden they got a problem with Him. They gave Him no honor. They were familiar with Him, yet they really didn't know Him, and that caused them to not believe Him. Now, many other places, including Capernaum, received the Lord Jesus. And He was able to do great things in their midst. And we saw that was not the case with Nazareth. In fact, we saw in Matthew 13:58 that He did not many mighty works there, talking about Nazareth, because of their unbelief. A lack of belief, a lack of faith hinders the very work of Jesus in folks' heart and life. If we wonder why the Lord doesn't do more in our own personal life, could it be that we are familiar with the good old Jesus that we grew up with, but we're not seeing Him as He really is or like we should be? Possibly, huh? So we saw they were familiar with Jesus, we saw they were faithless toward Jesus, and we saw they were frustrated with Jesus. In verses 25 through 27, Jesus mentioned two Gentiles who received miracles in the Old Testament. And He also mentioned there were plenty of Jewish widows and Jewish lepers back during that time, but God chose to help two Gentiles. Why? Well, there's a couple of things to consider here. One would be the general state of unbelief of Israel in the days of Elijah and Elisha. Those were the two miracles He was talking about in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And the people of Nazareth were showing the same unbelief. And that's what the Lord was wanting them to understand. Therefore, He wasn't working among them. The other thing to consider is that the Lord is not obligated. Listen, I want you to get this. The Lord is not obligated to act a certain way just because someone thinks He should act that way. Okay? So Jesus is not in the business of acting the way we think He ought to act. He's in control. He's Lord. He is Lord. Don't think for a minute that we can command and demand things from God. No. We can ask things of God, but don't think that you can command and demand. You know, that mentality is on the airwaves. TV preachers are full of that stuff, but don't swallow it, okay? That's not good stuff. That's not good theology. These people took their unbelief to the outer limits. They got frustrated with Jesus and angry with Jesus. And why was that? Because He told them the truth and they didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to hear the truth. Do we ever get that way sometimes, getting frustrated and even angry with people who tell us the truth about the Lord or about our behavior or maybe about our lack of faith or lack of faithfulness and we don't want to hear it? Yeah, sometimes we can get that way, can't we? We can even get frustrated or angry with God or His messengers because they confront us with His truth, and we just really don't want to be confronted with the truth. People don't like confrontation with, and a lot of times they don't like to see themselves in the light that the Bible might cast them in. Let me ask, where are you living today, spiritually speaking? Nazareth was resistant to Jesus. They were familiar with Jesus. They were faithless toward Jesus. And they were frustrated with Jesus. Now to our passage here. We see Capernaum was responsive to Jesus. In the verses that we read there, verses 31 through 41, we see they were responsive to the Lord Jesus. We see Capernaum was a place where Jesus' doctrine was respected there in verse 31 and 32. I mean, they were astonished there in verse 32. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. They recognized that. Now listen, Jesus did the same thing in Capernaum that he did in Nazareth. He taught them. In fact, he taught them with authority. That's something that the rabbis of that day did not do. The rabbis were good for quoting other rabbis. That's what they were good for. They didn't really delve too much into the Word of God. But Jesus taught them with authority, and he taught them with power. There was power and conviction in his words. And why was that? It was because he was and is the Son of God. There's something different about Jesus. Amen? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God in the flesh. And he was and is the Son of God, and the Spirit of God had descended on him at his baptism. And according to verse 14 of this chapter, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And in that power of the Spirit, he was rejected in Nazareth, but he was accepted at Capernaum. Now, what was the difference between Nazareth and Capernaum? Well, Luke tells us about one Sabbath day in Nazareth. One. That's all it took for them to say, we've had enough of Jesus. You can just get on out of town. Nazareth only heard him one time. Then it speaks of Sabbath days there. Verse 31. He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, plural. Jesus spent one Sabbath in Nazareth, but he spent several in Capernaum. What was the difference? Well, after just one Sabbath day in Nazareth, the people rejected him, and they rejected his words. But Capernaum was evidently more receptive, at this time anyway, to his teaching. And that's why he stayed longer. Let me ask this morning, how receptive are we to the Word of a God? How receptive are we? Do we come expecting to hear from God when the pastor stands up and he opens up the Word of God and he shares with you what thus saith the Lord, what God says? Do you come with anticipation and interest? Do we listen with eagerness and enthusiasm? Do we pay attention? Do we really care? Or are we just marking time? Well, I can check off of my list. I made it to church today. Yeah. That's a poor attitude of church. Amen. I mean, this is the house of God. And we're preaching from God's book. This is His words. And sometimes people get nothing out of God's word because they are not receptive to God's words. You can preach one area of Scripture and they'll listen to that with interest and they'll amen and praise the Lord. You know, that's really good. That's really good stuff. And you'll start preaching something that goes against something in their life and they're like, I don't know that I'm going to come back here anymore. I don't know that I want to listen to this anymore. I mean, let's get real. That's the way folks are a lot of times. We see Capernaum was a place where Jesus' doctrine was respected. Another thing, we see Capernaum was a place where Jesus' power was demonstrated. We read there that Satan's power was defeated in verses 33 through 37. He was God had a devil in him. And he was in the synagogue. Huh? Yeah. The people were receptive in Jesus. Because they were receptive, Jesus had power, and his power was demonstrated as the demon-possessed man was released from his bondage. In this situation, the devil, through one of his demons, had a man bound. He had a man bound. Of course, the devil and his demons are no match for the Son of God. Not at all. And I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us victory over sin, amen, and to release us from the power of Satan, because he does that. And I thank God that he did that in our lives, those of us that know him. Satan's power was defeated, but we see that Jesus' power was manifested. There in verse 38 and 39, even after he left, when he left the synagogue at the time, Jesus went to Peter's mother-in-law. And he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And that was a great victory. Notice how, out of gratitude, she got up and served. She got up and served the Lord. Now understand that Capernaum was a responsive town for a while. Okay? Did you get that? They were responsive for a while. We can do the same too. We can be responsive to Jesus for a while in our life, and then we can drift away from Him and not be what we ought to be. Unfortunately, Capernaum eventually was called out by Jesus for even their unbelief. In Matthew 11, 23, it says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Think about that. They looked pretty good here in the latter part of Luke 4. What happened? Well, they turned loose of some things they needed to hold on to. Amen. They did. Last of all, I want you to see Jesus' power was magnified as His ministry multiplied. Then in verses 40 through 43, we see that as the sun was setting, you know, all these people bringing out sick, and Jesus was healing every one of them that was brought out to Him. That's what it says in verse 40. Verse 41, there was devils coming out of many. And we see an abundant ministry right there. And I think Jesus was tired at the end of the day. Yeah, the Son of God got tired. And he needed rest, and he got away. So it was verse 42, "When it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he would not depart from them." You know, they start seeing all this that the Lord was doing. And listen, where unbelief is abundant, Jesus is hindered from doing many mighty works. That's Nazareth. But where faith is abundant, and the Lord Jesus Christ there is able to do many mighty things, He is both magnified and glorified, and His ministry is multiplied. That's what we see here. Where Jesus is able to do mighty things, it leads to more people seeking Him out. You agree with that? If you see Jesus working, you like that, don't you? You know, you think, man, if Jesus can do that for them, maybe He can do something for me. Because we all got problems, don't we? Every one of us. You know, we all need the help of the Lord. And so, man, if the Lord's working down there and the Lord can do that for them, man, what can He do for me? Could I say again that figuratively speaking and spiritually speaking, we each live today in one of these two towns. Okay? We are either living our lives resistant to Jesus and what He wants to do in our lives, or we are living our lives responsive to Jesus and what He wants to do in our lives. For those who are believers, let me warn you that it's very possible to have been responsive for a period of time in your life, but then at some point of your life, move to an area of unresponsiveness to Jesus. And if that has happened to you, get back close to Jesus. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's what Jesus' half-brother wrote in the book of James. Okay? Now my question today is this: where are you living right now? Where are you living right now? See, it's possible to move from the place of responsiveness to a place of resistance. Not a good place to be, a place of resistance. But where are you right now, spiritually speaking? I'm not talking about the past. You know, what I am talking about the present. I'm not talking about your plans for the future. I'm talking about right now, today. Today, where are you? Are you living resistant to Jesus, or are you living responsive to Jesus? Are you living in a place like Nazareth, familiar with Jesus but faithless and frustrated? Or are you living in a place like Capernaum, a place where Jesus' doctrine was respected a place where Jesus' power was demonstrated, Satan's power was defeated, Jesus' power was manifested, and Jesus' power was magnified as His ministry was multiplied. May the Lord help us to get where we need to be, such that we are receptive to what He has for our lives, and that we don't live our lives in resistance to His will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the Word of God. We thank You for this great example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, the difference in two towns, a tale of two cities here, we could say. Two real cities, though. Two really different results in what Jesus was able to do. And Lord, when we look at our lives, what is God able to do for us? What is Jesus able to do in our lives? Are we at a place where He can do something? Are we gotten to the point where we've resisted Him so long that we think it's a long way back and we don't know if we ever make it back? Lord, help us to repent of being in there and turn back again and get to a place of responsiveness in our lives. Maybe there's one here today that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a terrible place to be. Even today, because today's all we have. And today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. And Lord, if there's one that doesn't know You, help them to see that they can't bank on having it tomorrow to take care of this matter of salvation. All they have is right now. Their heart is beating now. They are breathing now. They have life now. But none are guaranteed life tomorrow. Help them to do with Jesus what they need to do today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Lord, for those of us that do know Christ, help us to evaluate our lives the way that we should. Get real with ourselves about where we're at. A lot of the issues that we have, we're not willing to get real with God. We play like everything's okay when everything's not okay. Lord, help us to get to a place of responsiveness where we need to be. And Lord, help us to dwell in that responsiveness, not drift away from it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.